Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Keith Mayer and Wally Mead continue their System Center 2012 Configuration Manager SP1 series, and in today's episode they go in-depth on the latest support features for Linux, Unix, and Macintosh clients. Tune in as they discuss in demo forms how to install and manage Config Manager on these systems, as well as how to prepare your environment and manage and deploy applications and distribute software. Keith, the mic is yours.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of TechNet Radio. My name is Keith Mayer and I'm an IT Pro Technical Evangelist at Microsoft on the USDPE team. And today we have back with us again Wally Mead, one of the Senior Program Managers on our System Center Client Configuration Management team, to talk about one of the new features in Service Pack 1 of System Center 2012 Configuration Manager around managing non-Windows clients, specifically Linux and Macintosh clients. Hey, Wally, thanks again for joining us today to walk us through these new features.
You're more than welcome, Keith. Always glad to be around and help you guys out.
Awesome, awesome. Well, in terms of Linux and Unix client support, I know there's quite a number of different operating systems that are supported now. Would you be able to give us kind of a brief overview of which operating systems are supported and any special considerations for installing the Config Manager client on those Linux or Unix boxes?
Yeah, so in the Linux and Unix case, there's quite a number of them actually, and we'll adapt as we... As new operating systems come out, new versions of them, and we'll go ahead and adapt appropriately. But yeah, we have quite a few different ones that we support, and there's some PowerPoints that walk you through them, but there's some Red Hat versions, there's some SUSE versions, Solaris, AIX, and some HP UX stuff. So a lot of different versions there. It looks to be about, 12 to 15 different flavors of those different operating systems that we go ahead and support.
Wow, so pretty broad support across the ecosystem. And are those clients supported regardless if they're physical or virtualized Unix or Linux clients?
Yeah, that is immaterial. In fact, my environment, I'm using a virtual version of a SUSE system. One clarification to make sure people are aware of is that we're only targeting this for servers and not desktops. So it is the Linux and Unix for server operating systems as opposed to desktop operating systems that we're supporting.
Okay, great, great. And as far as network support goes, is it both IP6 and IP4? Does that make a difference for managing these clients?
Really, from our aspect, we have an agent that you deploy to these boxes. So once you get the agent installed, you go ahead and treat it pretty much like a configuration manager client. So our goal is to try and make it as seamless of a difference in management of one of these type of systems as you would manage any of your Windows clients. Certainly there are some differences based on limitations in the operating system and features that we have, but for those features we do support, we're trying to make it as seamless as possible. So it really doesn't matter to us.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, would you be able to step us through the basics of a quick installation of the Config Manager client in a Linux environment?
Sure. Can do that very easily.
Okay, great.
Well, here you see I'm sitting on my Linux client. It's actually a SUSE client. And I've already downloaded the Configuration Manager client agent for the appropriate platform. So we don't ship the client with the Configuration Manager product. You'll have to go to the download center and download the appropriate client agent for either the Mac or the Linux client, Linux Unix client. And then there'll be different installer depending upon the agent you have or the operating system you have. So I've downloaded the client agent, and I've actually already put the client in the image. So it's sitting here, and I just did a directory, and you can see the installer is sitting there as well as the installation file. So to install this, it's a pretty simple matter. I'll just go up here and go find the command that I ran. So here's the command I ran. So it's the install script. A couple of parameters you have to specify. Then just like a Windows client, there's a number of optional parameters you can specify if you need to for specific configuration options. So what I specify here is to go ahead and run the install command. And then you have to specify the management point you want this client to initially connect to for accessing, for registering into the site and so on. So I did the dash MP parameter, then specified the FQDN of my management point, so primary1.config-manager-dom.local. And then you specify the site code you want this client to be assigned to. In this case, it's MCM as my configuration manager site code. And then the installer file, the package file for this appropriate operating system. So I went ahead and ran that. And honestly, it took about a minute, if that long. And then the client went ahead and installed appropriately. Once you install the client, then it's going to pretty much act like any other computer this client that you would have. So if I wanted to go ahead and force this guy to pull policies, here's a command, pull policies. There's a command that can force it to pull policies, very much like the configuration manager control panel app that we have for the Windows-based clients. Here's a command line you run to do the same thing. Of course, it'll pull policies automatically, just like it would a Windows client. For the most part, the Linux Unix client agent acts like a the Windows client does, agent does. So it will pull policies on an hourly basis by default, or whenever you go ahead and force it, or whatever you change your policy to, your parameter for. So I forced it to pull policies. I then went ahead and viewed the log file, and here's the one log file we create for this client. SCX for System Center cross platform, and then CM for configuration manager. And then, oops, that's not the log file. And then the log file is right there. You look at that log file and you'd be able to see all the actions that are occurring. I went ahead and forced it to do a hardware inventory. As you know, in Configuration Manager 2012, we've now implemented this four-hour randomization value so that not all clients take inventory at the same time. So I wanted to force it to take inventory, so I went ahead and just ran this command, which we document in the tech documentation, to force the client to pull hardware inventory right now. And it went ahead and, again, I could view that results in that log file and tracked when it was done reporting hardware inventory. So once I've done that, then I went ahead over to my site server, and I went ahead to my site server and looked at the console to look at the inventory that got reported from the client when it registered in the site, as well as when it reported hardware inventory. So here we're in my Configuration Manager console, and I'm looking at the devices in my site, and you can see that that client has installed and registered as a client. So here's the client agent reporting in. So the name of the computer I gave it was Linux Client. It does report as a client. It reports the site code that I told it to, MCM, and it reports as an active client, which just means it is active within my site. It's pulling policies, it's reporting inventory data, and so on. Down a little bit further below, you can see the client activity time, when the last time it reported inventory, and so on. So if we just go look at properties real quick, I take the client, I go look at properties and things of interest. It, again, reports a lot of the same features that a Windows client would: client registration and heartbeat discovery. It tells me the last date and time it did those features. Tells me my version of the code is, when it was created. But things of interest here, here's my operating system. It gets reported by the client as part of the Heartbeat DDR. So it reports in as that client, my resource name, and so on. So it reports in as a client through normal discovery properties, just like you would have for Windows clients.
Great.
Now I want to go ahead and view the hardware inventory I got taken. So I can go ahead and view that just like a Windows client viewing inventory. I can look at this one specific computer's inventory with Resource Explorer, or I could go run a report. So I'll just quickly just look at Resource Explorer. So I'll do a start, Resource Explorer, and the Resource Explorer window pops up. I go ahead and expand hardware, and then here are the different hardware inventory classes that we can get from this appropriate client. All the normal stuff you'd expect to have. There's like a dozen different classes and attributes that will get classes with appropriate attributes. Last time I took inventory is listed here appropriately. And then I can see my processor information. I can see the client registration information, the network adapter it has. I can get more information about its operating system. So if I go to properties tables, you can see a little bit better. You see the specific version of the operating system it is, and its description, its service pack, whatever it has listed for it, just like you kind of would from a Linux or for a Windows client. Installed applications. So here's all of the different applications that got detected as part of hardware inventory somewhat similar to our add remove programs inventory we have for a Windows client, or the asset intelligence you get when you enable that for a Windows client again. So again, you get all the appropriate information through hardware inventory, which means you can also view it not just on an individual client. I could go run any standard report that I want to look at the operating systems I have or what different clients I have, and they'll all report in there in the appropriate reports that I have for my clients.
Great. And so all of those properties could also be potentially used to target software updates or distributions or settings or whatnot as well. Is that right?
Well, we support software distribution to a Linux Unix client, which could imply patches as well. So you could deploy patches as part of software distribution. We don't have settings management, or what some people call DCM, the old desired configuration management, for Linux Unix yet. So our feature set is really the discovery, installation of the client, hardware inventory, including the installed applications, as you saw, and then software distribution. But you're right, I use those properties to create collections. So in fact, here I've created a collection of Linux clients, and I base it off of all my installed clients, and it says I have one member of the collection, which I already told it to show members, and here it is. And here's my one collection member. Now I base this solely off of the operating system name and version. And it will be unique for all the different Linux or Unix operating systems you have. But as you state, any of your appropriate properties, SUSE clients version 11 with this amount of memory or this amount of disk space or whatever your configuration is for doing your software distribution targeting that you want to do.
Gotcha.
Once you've got the appropriate collection or collections made that you want, then it's standard software distribution. So you would go to the software library workspace, and then you create a package. Now, the software distribution to a Linux Unix client uses the traditional or classic software distribution technology, which is packages and programs. It doesn't use the application model, given the operating system limitations. So, So what I did is I created a package for the operations manager client for Linux. So if you just want to look at that real quick, look at the properties, it's a standard package. So the only unique thing here would be my data source. So you path it to wherever the source of files are that you want to make available to your Linux Unix client. So all the traditional package properties that you want to. Then you create your programs. In this case, I created one program, install the Operations Manager client. And again, the command, here you see the command is RPM with the appropriate syntax to go ahead and run this installer, which is the System Center cross-platform SCX again, and this is the Operations Manager Client Agent. So you would go ahead and create a package that includes this one command in it, and then for my retargeting, I want to make sure it only runs on the appropriate platform, so I told it to not any platform, I went to the specific client platform, and then you go ahead and scroll down and find the appropriate platform that you want. And here you start seeing all the SUSE versions and the Solaris versions and Red Hat and HP UX. So you go ahead and pick the appropriate, and then AIX down at the bottom. Go and pick the appropriate operating system you want. I stated here the version I have, SLES 11, and it's X64 is my client I have. Whatever parameters you want. Not all the parameters will be evaluated appropriately on the Linux clients, and our TechNet documentation tells you which parameters in a package and program that we would ignore appropriately on a Linux Unix client. But you go ahead and create your package, create your program, you go ahead and target that to the collection. When you want to run that on your client, there's no user interface really on a Linux Unix client for this. It's required software distribution. So the next time the client pulls policies, it'll find that policy, and then at the appropriate required time, it will go ahead and deploy that piece of software. And you saw the command line I issued on my client computer to go ahead and force it to retrieve policies instead of waiting. It went ahead and installed that command. And then you would monitor it just like any other normal software distribution. So here's my deployment status for that application. So if I go to deployments, here you see Operations Manager client for Linux. You see it's 100% completed. And if I go look at the details, which is where it was when we just pulled in here, and you see it was complete or success on this one computer Linux client. So really it's just a matter of getting the appropriate files that you want for the target computers available to your site server, create a package, a program for that appropriate tar file in this case, distribute that content out to a distribution point that this client has access to, so it needs to be in the appropriate boundary group. It finds MPs, it finds DPs, just like a Windows client would do, which is looking in your appropriate boundary groups, and then it goes ahead and pulls the content down. It always does a download before execute, down to the local client cache on the Linux client, installs that with whatever the appropriate command line was I gave it, and then it report status, just like again a Windows client would. So again, we're trying to make it function as much as possible like a Windows client would, so that when you're managing these guys, you don't have to think a whole lot of unique things about managing the Linux and Unix versus a traditional Windows system.
Sure. No, that makes sense. That looks really great. And based on the approach that we're taking, it seems like it gives a lot of flexibility, because potentially I could probably have additional customized scripts or commands that I use on those Linux servers installed locally already, and also use this functionality to be able to kick off those locally installed scripts and whatnot for administrative functions or other purposes. Is that right? Is that possible with this approach too?
Absolutely. The stuff that you want to run on one of these clients, just like a Windows guy, where it could be something that's already there, whether it's a disk defragmenter, a traditional thing in a Windows environment, or you want to kick off a virus scan or whatever, you can do those through packages and programs. And even if the software is already on the computer or it's sitting out there in one of its own file servers, you just have a package with a program, but the package has no source files. So you're just giving it a command to kick off that would do your routine maintenance task.
Gotcha. And because the Linux and Unix hosts in most environments typically are not really participating in Active Directory, I would think that when we're deploying software or updates or commands using this approach to a Linux or Unix client, we probably have to think about deploying it to the device instead of a particular set of users. Do I have that right?
That is correct. We're deploying to the computer, so to the device. And because, as what you're stating, they're not Active Directory domain joined, that means we treat them as workgroup clients, which means that your site, not only do your clients have to be within the boundaries of the boundary group, but your site also has to have the ability of accessing a DP from a workgroup client, so you have to have your network access account configured and set appropriately that these guys can get through policy.
Sure, that makes sense.
And there's one other thing that has to happen here. Because of Configuration Manager 2012, we don't give policies to clients that aren't approved, so you have to go in there and approve your client computers. So a very easy way to do that, if you're going to be managing a lot of these type of clients, is just go to your hierarchy settings for your hierarchy for that site and go to the client approval and conflicting records and set this bottom option of automatically approve all computers. That way I don't have to go in there individually, remember to right click this new client and hit approve on it in order for it to get policies, which would include the network access account policy, which would then allow it to access the distribution point to get its content.
Wow, that's a great tip. Thanks.
Yep. So approve the clients, make sure you have the network access account, make sure that the clients are in the appropriate boundaries. In my case, this client wasn't. So what I did, I created a simple little boundary for this one specific client. So I just put an IP address range that had the specific IP address of this one client. Obviously, in your customer environments, they're going to have multiple different addresses there. So you may have a specific subnet on there. Maybe you have a wider boundary anyway that includes your subnet. But yeah, you just go ahead and create the appropriate boundary. Make sure it's a member of the boundary group. Network access account, approve your clients, install the agent locally, and then you treat it like a normal client.
Awesome. Well, that looks pretty straightforward and seems like it gives us a lot of flexibility. Thanks so much, Wally.
You're very welcome.
Well, that looks awesome, Wally. We just saw the steps of installing and managing Linux and Unix-based clients using Service Pack 1 and Config Manager 2012. As I understand it, Macintosh clients are also supported now with Service Pack 1. Are there any, when we're thinking about supporting Macintosh clients, are there any special installation processes or considerations that we need to keep in mind?
Yeah, that there are for the Macintosh clients as well. The first thing would be to talk about the different versions of Mac OS X that we're supporting. So it's Mac OS X versions 10.6 and 10.7, Snow Leopard and Lion. We're evaluating to see if we can get support for the most current Mac OS X, which is 10.8 Mountain Lion. And from all indications, it looks like things work well with that in our initial testing, but it's just a matter of whether we can get the official support complete for it in time for shipping. So those are the two we're supporting right now, 10.6 and 10.7. The feature set that we're going to provide for Macintosh support is a little bit expanded beyond the Linux and Unix. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have the discovery and inventory. The inventory includes the list of applications, very much like the Linux stuff that we saw. But we're also going to be providing, in the software distribution space, the same as the Linux and Unix client, which is the required software distribution, including software updates for the operating system through software distribution. But the big thing we're adding in here differently is the ability of doing some settings management for Macintosh clients that we don't have for the Linux and Unix environments. So we do have ability of doing preferences and shell scripts for some settings management technologies for those appropriate platforms.
Oh, okay. So we've got some compliance settings capabilities to create configuration items that would be used to manage the Mac clients. Is that right?
Yep, that we do.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Well, when we're thinking about supporting Mac clients in our Service Pack 1 environment, is there any specific setup that we need to do on the Config Manager site system side before we start installing those Mac clients within our site hierarchy?
Yeah, there actually are quite a number of different things you have to do. First off is we treat these Macintosh clients as internet-based clients. So you have to have your infrastructure set up to support internet-based clients, which that means you have to have certificates. Right. Now, unlike ConfigMan 2007, which meant your whole site had to be in a native mode environment, you can do this on a per-site system basis. So you'd have a management point, a distribution point, enrollment point, and enrollment proxy point, which are needed to enroll the Macintosh clients, and then management point to get policies, and then a distribution point to get your content. You'd have those guys all configured with the appropriate certificates from a PKI infrastructure that you want to go ahead and allow web access, as well as then certificates for client authentication to. So you have to configure that. You also have to configure those resources to support internet clients. So you have to go and change the property of the management point, the distribution point, and so on to state internet only or internet and internet clients, whichever one you want to do if you want to share those between internet only or combined internet and intranet clients. So you have to configure them to support that as well. And then once you've got those systems configured for internet access and the appropriate certificates on them, then really it's a matter of configuring your client settings to allow the end user to enroll that Macintosh. Again, just like you would for a mobile device, they have to enroll that into the site. So it's, again, a little more complicated than the Linux environment. There's more infrastructure required and a little more process there. You just don't install the agent. You have to enroll it into the site once you've installed the agent locally on the client. So you have to create a profile in the Configuration Manager environment to specify that you are allowing client enrollment by these users. So create a custom setting for users, assign them to your users that are Mac users, say you are allowed to enroll your basically your mobile device and give it a profile, and then that will go ahead and allow the end users to go ahead and install the client agent and run the enroller utility we have to enroll it into your infrastructure.
I see, okay. And I imagine that the TechNet documentation probably steps through that entire process end-to-end. Is that right?
Yeah, we've got some pretty good docs. The current docs are been updated for SP1 beta, and there may be some changes between now and the time the product becomes fully released. But yeah, we give you some pretty good information up there. It's like a 12-step process you go through to configure the certificates, configure the MP, the DP, and the enrollment points that you need, and then the process of getting the agent downloaded. Just like on the Linux, it doesn't come with the product, although in beta, we actually did put the Macintosh client agent on the installation media that you would download from the web. But other than that, it's a separate download you didn't download. So you download it, you'd extract it out on your Macintosh client, you'd install the client agent locally on the Macintosh computer. You would then run our special utility called CM Enroll for Configuration Manager Enroll that would then enroll that Macintosh into your site, given your certificate that you have. It would find the appropriate management point that it's allowed to communicate with, you specify it, and then it will go ahead and register that client into the site. After, once you enroll it and register it, then it will go ahead and start downloading policies and acting, again, pretty much like another client computer would.
I see. Okay, great, great. Well, that so since it's on the TechNet site, I think that'll probably be sufficient for most people just to step through that and kind of try it out in a pilot environment first and then begin thinking about deploying that further. That's awesome. Once the Mac clients are, once we go through that whole process and the Mac clients are up and running in our environment and we're ready to start thinking about software deployments to Mac clients, are there any special preparation steps that we need to go through to be able to deploy software to Mac clients using Config Manager?
There is, yeah. There's we support like four different formats of Macintosh software that you can go ahead and package up in Configuration Manager. But in order to do that packaging, there's another utility that you would run on your Macintosh client, and that comes with that download that includes our client agent itself. So it's a utility called CM App Util. And you would take the CM App Util utility from this download, and you would package that up or use that utility to package up your Macintosh software. The formats we support are the Apple Disk Image, which is a DMG file format, the Meta Package format, MPKG format, the Mac OS X Installer Package, PKG, and Mac OS X application, which is a .app format. So take the appropriate files for whichever one of those type of applications you want to deploy, bundle it up with the CM App Util utility, and then that puts those Macintosh files in a format that Configuration Manager can understand. Then you go ahead and create an application in Configuration Manager for it, pathing it to that output of that CM that App Util utility that we created, and then you go ahead and deploy that out to distribution points and then deploy the software, the application out to your target Macintosh clients.
Oh, okay. That's a pretty creative approach for getting that done. I was wondering how, because of the file system differences and whatnot, how that was going to be handled. So that seems pretty straightforward. Awesome.
Yeah, we had to give the users a utility to do that, to put them into a Windows-type format that we could bundle up and do our stuff with, and then we dump it out to a DP, and then on the Macintosh end, when they receive that file, it will go ahead and extract them out off the DP back into the appropriate .app format or DMG or whatever it happens to be back on the Macintosh client, so they can go ahead and run the appropriate command to install that application. So here we are back in the Configuration Manager console, and we're actually sitting in the same spot where we left off before, which is showing you the software distribution for the Linux-Unix environment. So if I want to do software distribution to a Macintosh computer, once I've run the CM App Util utility to bundle up those files on the Macintosh, bring those files over to a Configuration Manager environment, all I would do is go to my application node in Software Library. I would say create an application. And then when I create my application, when the wizard pops up, I then specify the type of application I want to create. And it'll give me all the normal options like Windows Installer and AppV and some of the other things we've talked about in the past. But now you'd see that there is an option here for Mac OS X. So I would just go ahead and path it to the Mac OS X file. So this path here would be the location with the bundle of files that were created from the CM App Util utility. So I would go ahead and import that utility, the results of that utility. I have now an application, and you can look here on the, I don't have a bundle here, so I can't really do the import, but you can see that there's just the confirmation is all that's left there. There's no more other properties I have to specify. So I go ahead and create that bundle, my application out of that. I do my normal application deployment. So I put the bundle on a distribution point that the Macintosh computer would have access to with the appropriate support for internet-based clients and mobile devices accessing it. And then I go ahead and deploy that application out to my collection of my Macintosh clients, which I would create using properties very similar to the collection we created for the Linux Unix clients. So that
Oh,
we get
okay.
software out to them.
Gotcha. So the output of that CM app utility where it creates that bundle, inside that it doesn't just have the files, it also has all the settings that are necessary for configuring and importing this package, and that's why all those other settings aren't prompted for, is that right?
Yep. It's all built in that utility, so it's just basically taking these bundle of files, putting them in the Windows environment that we can then stuff back out in the Macintosh environment through this centralized management process of Configuration Manager.
Well, that looks great. Very easy.
Yeah, and then the last thing we can show you real quickly is for settings. So if I do want to go do deploying some settings, I would go to the Assets and Compliance workspace. I would go to Compliance Settings. I would go to Configuration Item. And now I would just say, Create a Configuration Item. And I could call this a Mac setting. And then when I go down to specify the type of configuration item I want to create, we now have a new option for Mac OS X.
Okay.
So I go ahead and drop down and pick Mac OS X. Then I go ahead and designate what appropriate Macintosh operating system I want, which right now, again, is 10.6 and 10.7. Specify that. And then, very similar to a Windows-based setting, I go and browse to where I go ahead and specify the item I want to go ahead and do my set detection and then remediation on as appropriate through the compliance rules and the appropriate preference or shell script that I have in the Macintosh environment. So I go ahead and fill this in, create that, and then I just deploy that as a normal baseline. Once I've created the configuration item and baseline, I deploy that to my Macintosh clients, again, just like a Windows. But we have specific settings for the Mac OS X environment, just like we do for Windows clients.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. That looks awesome. Great. Thanks so
yep,
much.
So it gives you more capabilities of management of your clients once you've got them installed and they've reported in for inventory and deploying your software to them.
That's awesome. Well, it seems like these enhancements in Service Pack 1 really give us a lot of powerful features for managing a mixed environment that doesn't include just Windows clients, but has Linux and Unix and Mac clients. Wally, thanks so much for walking us through these new features and how they work and how we can leverage them in our environments today. And thank you, everyone, for attending our TechNet Radio episode today on System Center 2012 Configuration Manager Enhancements for supporting Linux, Unix, and Macintosh clients. Join us next time for more information on new features and changes with Service Pack 1 of Configuration Manager, where Wally will be back with us to talk through some additional details. Thanks so much, everyone.